Devo Huti Uvacha. Devo Huti said. Kachit. What? Twayi. Unto you. Uchita. Proper. Bhaktihi. Devotional service. Kidvishi. What kind? Mama. By me. Gochara. Fit to be practiced. Yaya. By which? Padam. Feet. Te. Your. Nirvanam. Liberation. Anjasa. Immediately. Anvash Novai. Shall attain. Aham. I. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. On hearing this statement of the Lord, Devahuti inquired, what kind of devotional service is worth developing and practicing to help me easily and immediately attain the service of your lotus feet? Purport. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that no one is barred from rendering service to the Lord. Whether one is a woman, or a laborer, or a merchant, if he engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, he is promoted to the highest perfectional state and goes back home, back to Godhead. The devotional service most suitable for different types of devotees is determined and fixed by the mercy of the spiritual master. Devahuti is asking a question here. This is not just some literary device for making a smooth transition or for just filling up space in the book. This asking a question is a very important process, a very important element of the process of devotional service. A devotee, a person who comes into the association of devotees, has to establish his relationship with them. The idea is you want to become one of them also. Of course, you're supposed to take initiation. But it's not just you pay some money and do some funny ritual and then you're a member of the club. And you're now a devotee because you've got your initiation. The process is deeper than that. The formality of initiation is just that. It's a formality. It's a ceremony marking that you've actually become a member of the club, of the sampradaya. But becoming a member involves more than the external formalities. One has to learn how to be like a devotee. That's all that's required, basically, is to turn our material life back into spiritual life. We have to relearn the proper ways of thinking and behaving. We have to recondition ourselves to our spiritual nature. That can be done. You can study in books. You can read Bhaktivinoda Samrita Sindhu and other books that explain how devotees think and how they act. The devotees of the spiritual world and the devotees who join the Lord in his pastimes in the material world. There are many descriptions, theoretical descriptions. And then Rupa Goswami in his Bhaktivinoda Samrita Sindhu quotes different verses showing what people said and did giving concrete examples. So you can study out of books, but that is not enough. Just like you can't become a doctor, a physician, just by reading medical books. You need personal training. You cannot become a musician just by studying the theory of music. You have to practice it and hear it a lot. So to become a Vaishnava, a devotee of the Supreme Lord, you have to have the practice of associating with Vaishnavas. It's not enough just to read how a devotee of Vishnu thinks and acts. You have to see it, and you have to practice it, and practice it in the company of those who are doing it. You have to come into the association of Vaishnavas, and by experiencing and by working with them, and by imbibing their spirit and their way of behaving and thinking, you become one of them. But even that has a certain, there's a methodology. You have to make inquiries. If a person comes to the Vaishnavas, they may have mystic powers, they may be able to read your mind, but you should not count, rely upon that. That the Vaishnavas by telepathy, by just mentally, by just mystically knowing what you're thinking and what you're feeling, know everything without being asked any questions. You cannot expect that. It's not the normal process. Although maybe they're capable of doing that. Maybe they could touch you on the head and empower you with love of God. But don't expect that either. That is not the normal process. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was visiting, traveling in the south of India, he would do that. He didn't have time to give classes and lecture and give personal instructions to everybody. So just by seeing him, people would become enthused with love of God. Mystic process. But it's not the normal process. The usual process is that you hear practical instructions. But to start the hearing process, you have to ask questions. I may make a phone call to get some information from someone. But I have to. I'm making the phone call. I have to initiate the conversation. When he says hello, I have to explain what I'm calling him for and ask for the information. Otherwise, how can I expect to get it? I have in my mind what I want. But how is the person I'm trying to get the information from supposed to know what I need and want? Even when you go to a doctor, and the doctor is much more expert than you in understanding what's right or wrong with your body, but still he asks you some questions. Did you sleep well last night? Now, how is your evacuation? Are you eating okay? Where does it hurt? Questions have to be asked in order to get information, normally. So, if you want to begin, if you really want initiation, the beginning of your spiritual life, not just I want a name and I want the prestige and I want the external formalities, but if you want to become actually initiated, if you actually want to begin becoming a member of this community of Krishna's devotees, then you should come into their association by inquiring, by asking important questions. How should I think? And how should I act? Stitta pragyasya, ka bhasha. How does the rest of it go? The person who has fixed intelligence. That may be a yogi or a devotee, but we can use it. Apply this to the devotees. How does he speak? Kim asita vajeta kim. What is it, when he sits and is just thinking, what is he thinking about? Vajeta. And when he's moving about and active, how does he act? The devotee is living in the material world. Does he stay like a tortoise with all his limbs in his shell not coming out? Or when he does come out, what does he do? How does he deal with the external world and with material people? So we inquire and we observe how the devotees actually are. So here, Devahuti is asking such a question. A question intended to inspire her son, her guru, to reveal. What she's asking about is, kachit tvai uchita bhakti. She's already understood, she's already been told that a saintly person is a devotee and he performs devotional service to the Supreme Person. So the importance of bhakti has already been presented to her. Now she wants to know how, practically, I can practice bhakti. There may be different kinds of bhakti. Which one is most suitable? There may be different methods. What method should I take? Just like I know I'm sick, I should get medicine. But I should go to a doctor and find out which medicine, not just go to the drugstore and pick out something at random. So she wants to know what of the various alternative methods of approaching Krishna and his service, which one is appropriate? Kachit. Which one? Tvayuchita bhakti. Kidrishi. What is it like? And maybe it involves several different aspects. Maybe it's complex. Just like we're executing a complex, a relatively complex version of devotional service. There are many different activities. We don't just chant mantra. We don't just chant Hare Krishna. We have regulative principles, and we have many practical activities we're expected to also perform. We don't just meditate. Some Vaishnavas, including some of the what we call Babaji's, they put all emphasis on meditation. They even de-emphasize the chanting, and they're just supposed to remember Radha and Krishna. Ashtakali Smaranam. They're trying to practice that directly without much even chanting on beads, without much practical service. But our process, which is more effective in this modern age, when people are not suitable, so people are not suited, most people are not ready to simply sit down and meditate on the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Their hearts are filthy, and they're distracted and disturbed. Prayin alpa yusha sabhya kolavas min yugejana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hi upadruta. In this modern age, people don't live very long. They don't have much time to practice difficult processes. They're not very smart, generally, people in Kali Yuga. They're unfortunate. They've got so much bad karma, which means their minds and their bodies are unsuited to sattvic and transcendental activities. And their intelligence is faulty. They don't understand things properly. In Kali Yuga, people in general. So the process has to be made simple. Still, there's some complications in our process. We don't only chant Hare Krishna. We do practical service. And we perform other versions of sadhana bhakti. We chant, we also hear, we also try to do some remembering, we worship the deities, and various kinds of service. Some go to extremes. I met one pundit, I was staying in his house in Benares for a week. He was chanting. He was a devotee of Ram, but he was chanting Hare Krishna. I think he was chanting, Hare Rama first, but it comes out the same anyway. He was chanting one lakh every day of names, 64 rounds. But he had an unusual philosophy. He believed that there is no sadhana in Kali Yuga except for chanting. No regulative principles. We don't have to, and we shouldn't try to do anything other than just chant Krishna's names. That is how we took the Kaler Nastiva, Nastiva, Gatiranyata, Harinama Eva. We should only chant Harinama. And he was quoting from the Ram Charita Manasa of Tulsidas, so many statements that your only hope in Kali Yuga is Harinama, and you can't, there's no other sadhana. But Rupa Goswami, he gives us sadhana, plenty of sadhana, 64 angas, 64 activities of sadhana bhakti, not only chanting. So there's a difference of opinion here. When I was trying to fast for Ekadashi in his house, he was chastising me. That you shouldn't take any vrat, you shouldn't try to do anything except for chant. And I tried to explain to him, I'm only doing this because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked us to. And he said, oh, if you take a vrat and then you sleep during the day, your vow is ruined anyway. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm not taking a vow. I have no sankalpa. I'm not trying to accomplish something. I'm just trying to do this, vow or no vow. I'm just trying to observe the Ekadasi for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya. And on the request of Lord Chaitanya, we do other things besides just chant. So we have a somewhat complex, therefore, process of devotional service. Kidrishi, what are the different aspects, or question, Devahuti's question is, what are the various elements, components of this devotional service? It may not be just one thing, it may involve several things. Mama gochara, and please tell me something that will be useful for me. There may be great yogis and advanced sadhus who can perform difficult processes, but please present something easy that I can do by which I can attain liberation at your lotus feet. This is her question. Mama gochara. Just like another woman, another great woman, Prita, the mother of the Pandavas, she prayed to Krishna, directly, face to face, talking to Krishna. Tata paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhanartam katam pashyema hi striyaha. Krishna, you've appeared on this earth especially to favor the munis, the sages, and the paramahamsas, the very advanced yogis. Muninam amalatmanam, those whose hearts and minds are pure. Bhakti yoga vinaranartam, they're the prime candidates for devotional service. So I'm very surprised that you bother to show yourself to us who are just fallen, unintelligent ladies. Katam pashyema hi striyaha. How can such disqualified persons as us have your mercy? Not only have you given us knowledge, but you've given us your own self. You've given us your personal association. So Devahuti also is expressing this wonder and this gratitude for being allowed to have the Supreme Lord as her own son. He's her guru, but he's still her son. And her relationship with him is like the intimate relationship of a mother with her son. No one is disqualified. Woman, or laborer, or merchant. Prabhupada uses those words because those are the words Krishna used. Mami parta vyapashritya yepi syukpapayonayaha striyo vaishyastata shudras tepi yanti param gatim. Even papayonis, people who have taken sinful births. This is strong words. And he doesn't mean just criminals and people who are total outcasts and demons. He means Striyo Vaishya Tata Shudra. He means most everybody. Striya, women, that's automatically 50% of the whole population are women. And they're in the Papa Yoni class, according to Krishna. Vaishya Tata Shudra. Those are the two lower classes. The Vedic system, although we have four classes, they're not equally populated. It's like a pyramid. There's lots of shudras on the bottom. Then for, you know, every 10 shudras, there might be one vaishya. It's like you go to a business establishment. You'll see one older man sitting behind the cash register doing nothing. He's the proprietor. And in India, he can't trust his workers, so he has to sit in the shop all day, just watching. Maybe he's at the cash register, maybe he's just sitting around inside. He's the vaishya. And all his employees are shudras. If they were trustworthy, he wouldn't have to sit in the shop. That's proof that they're shudras. If he leaves the shop, they'll all wander off or go to sleep or steal everything. So he has to be there to watch them. You see this in almost every shop in India. One vaishya and a whole shop full of shudras. So for every 10 shudras, there's one vaishya. And for every one vaishya, every 20 vaishyas, there's one kshatriya. And for every 50 kshatriyas, there's one brahmana. So you have a few brahmanas at the top, you know, a larger number of kshatriyas, a lot of vaishyas, and a whole crowd of shudras. That's Vedic society. That's any society, even unorganized. So what do we have here? 50% all the ladies. That's 50% of the population. Then all the shudras and all the vaishyas. That's another 35% of the population. So 85% of the population are Papa Yonis, according to Krishna, basically, roughly speaking. Maybe 15% are not counted. But even they, so Krishna has a sort of pessimistic view of human society. 85% of them are useless. But not useless. Mami Partavipa, if they can only take shelter of me, even if they come from this hoi polloi, this low-class mass of the population, if they take shelter of me, then they can become perfect. They can attain the highest destination. They can become better than all the brahmanas if they take shelter of me. So devotional service, who are the persons who are qualified? Who are the adhikaris for devotional service? The answer is every single human being can be allowed to perform Krishna's devotional service. No human being should be disqualified. Even if he's a wicked criminal, sinful, demon, if he wants to serve Krishna, no one should try to stop him. So you're asking what's wrong with ISKCON? What's wrong with ISKCON is that we're too liberal, that Prabhupada, following Krishna's idea, is allowing everybody to come and serve Krishna. And we get crazy people, criminal people, deviant people sometimes in our ISKCON society. And it sometimes hurts our reputation and causes trouble. And devotees get abused. But this is Krishna's way, that everyone... He wants everyone to be allowed to try to be his devotee, even if he's wicked. We could have a small society of very pukka brahmanas, or we could have a huge society that allows everybody to come. And Srila Prabhupada opted for the second. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, Prabhupada is just following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's idea. Sarvatma snapanam. Everyone should become immersed in this flood of love of Godhead. Every single man, woman, and child in the universe. Saratmasnapanam param vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to the process of loudly in assembly of devotees chanting the glories of Krishna, which will flood the whole world, every person in it, in love of God. Okay, so are there any questions or comments?
It's
snapanam. It's causative, snapayati, to make someone take a bath. Sna is take a bath. Snanam is a bath, the noun. The verb is sna, snati, I guess. And then snapayati is make someone take a bath. So snapanam is what makes everybody take a bath. Usually, one thing that will make everyone take a bath is a big flood. And you can't avoid being swept up in the water. And you're forced to take a bath. That's snapanam. Saratma snapanam. Everybody is carried away in the flood. Okay? Yes. Yeah.
Sweat is not
funny. And in tears of ecstasy. Hare Krishna. It's like that, yeah. Anything else? Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.